Good afternoon, listeners. I'm excited to welcome you to another interesting edition of the Language Matters podcast. This afternoon, we will be talking about language and technology. I am your host, Dr. Mamie Fonikas, and I'm thrilled to take you on this journey to unveil the intricacies of this dynamic relationship between language and technology. So we're going to have a three-part series in these conversations. This is the first part. And we'll be looking at the intersection, trying to understand the intersection between language and technology. I am delighted to introduce to you my guest, Justice. But Justice, I would prefer that you introduce yourself to our audience so they get to know a bit more about you and why you have joined us this afternoon. So over to you.
Good afternoon, Dr. Nim. This is it's a privilege and opportunity to educate your audience on a very important topic. Before I dive into that, my name is Justice Akpade Jr., an IT consultant from Ghana, and currently consulting for United Nations Development Program on several projects for the nation Ghana. And I also consult for National Authority while I train youth in digital skills and the communication aspect. So as far as this episode of the podcast series is concerned, I think it's necessary that I also contribute my knowledge in educating the audience. Thanks for the opportunity once again.
Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. So I wanted to delve straight in and try and understand, if you can help us understand a bit of a historical context. How has language or technology shaped language from a historical perspective?
Okay, language as a way of life, language as a medium of communication between human beings in general, be it in English or any other local dialect, has become a dynamic and ever-changing entity, which has intricately woven itself into the very fabric of technology progress throughout human history. And from the earliest form of communication, inched onto curveballs to a sophisticated digital platform of today, like the social media and the forth, language has, over the years, adapted and evolved alongside technology advancements. Now, there was inventions of writing systems that marked a significant leap forward, and this has brought about hieroglyphics, cuneiform scripts, and alphabets that allow for preservation and transmission of knowledge across generations and the generations yet unborn. As societies developed, so the means of communication. And as the age of industrial revolution has occurred, there was an introduction of what they call a printing press or print media, which at that time was considered as a leapfrog. Little did they know that there will be other technology to actually surpass that revolution. Now, with the printing press revolution, language dissemination, this has enabled mass production of books and newspapers that help democratizing access to information readily available to everyone. The industrial age introduced what we call the telegraphs and telephones, which transcend geographical boundaries to instantaneous communication across the globe. And the language has to adapt to succinct the telegram codes and the nuances of spoken conversation through a phone line or any medium of communication, just as what we are using now. Now, there is also an introduction of a radio and television, which further propagated language and shaped accents and dialects as people were exposed to new linguistic influences across the globe. So the overall idea of technical advancement in the historical patterns go hand in hand, but then technology has not come to actually replace the medium of communication, but rather a complement. If I may say, it's rather a complement, but not a total solution to actually erode or degrade the language formality.
Thank you very much. I mean, as you were speaking, I just had your word with that. Isn't it fascinating how language serves as a mirror of human progress? I mean, it's just sort of echoing all the shifts in our society over time. And with the advent of technology, the evolution of language has indeed taken on a more even remarkable turn. Now, you mentioned the printing press and all that, and I think equally fascinating is this social media, email, instant messaging, which have all helped to bridge the geographical gaps and allowed us to communicate effortlessly and also introduce some new linguistic forms. You know, maybe if you look at how we send text messages, acronyms, emojis, and internet slang and all that. So really, this is really, really fascinating. Now, so my next question is that the digital language has undoubtedly ushered us into a new era of communication expression. And I think that this has both problems and advantages. So if you can just throw light on the new forms of communication expressions that have evolved as a result of the change in the digital landscape, that would be brilliant.
Okay, so that's definitely. So we're talking about the impact of technology on language usage and communication patterns. Now, the digital era has catalyzed a profound transformation in the language, the usage, and the communication patterns. And the advent of internet and the social media, as mentioned earlier, have revolutionized how people interact and express themselves, thereby using abbreviations, acronyms, emoticons, image as a tool to convey emotions and ideas precisely in the realm of limited characters and fast-paced online conversations. And this has resulted in a shorthand writing, which in the long run is trying to degrade, or what we call a language erosion. The rise of smartphones and mobile messaging apps led to ambiguity of texting and instant messaging, which by reshaping the grammar rules and introduces a new linguistic phenomena like autocorrect and predictive tests. These are all AI integrated models. And with this, the shortfall of it is that people tend to express themselves the way they feel, but then with the introduction of the AI that helped them to automatically write things faster, which you know, human beings begin to be very lazy in terms of constructing a well structured and able to communicate the emotion effectively, which has fallen short because as these platforms accelerated the diffusion of slang and regional idioms across the globe, language has now intersected our cultural practices, and that there's some communication that you may see. Okay, in America, you can call somebody just by a name, but then in Africa, you might not, you have to attach a title to that name. But due to the diffusion of regional idioms across the group, or language across the group, in the advent of technology, has actually degraded our moral standard. And however, the digital age also gave a rise to concerns about what I mentioned earlier as what we call the language erosion and degradation. The brevity of online communication often sacrifices depth and context. What it means is that complex strategies may be replaced by emojis or GIFs, which in the right senses might not explain details for the recipient or the receiving person. For you, you understand what you are trying to communicate. Emojis, I consider it to be a different ball game altogether. But however, this is a whole university on its own that we have thousands of emojis that people have to study to know what they mean. So in this case, it makes it very complex and very complicated for people to understand your communication here. So challenging traditional language forms is a major concern here when you are using the emojis in your communication. So the critics argue that this could lead to a decline in formal writing skills and a shallow understanding of language nuances, and that is true. But however, there is an advantage and disadvantage to every new technique that is brought into existence. So hence the rise of AI in language processing, which you call the NLP, is a tool, an algorithm that has come to help to analyze context summarization and translation of language across space. Why it is necessary? Because bilateral talks in terms of business across the group is important for each individual to understand what a business partner or party is communicating. However, language differences has actually created a barrier in how to integrate or to communicate to a party. So with generative AI, it's a tool, though has criticized or has been criticized over the years, are still a complement to help bridge that gap. So in totality, I may say, well, we have the disadvantage, all right, that we bring a shortfall, but then as human, we continue to learn in the society. As human, we continue to learn the bad and good of it. So it depends on how you efficiently use it to the good of yourself or to the bad. So all depends on our behavioral patterns in society as a whole.
Thank you very much for that. And I think one thing that, again, stood out to me is the fact that so these new trends in digital communication can sometimes lead to misinterpretation and misunderstanding, because we are communicating across the globe. We are talking to each other, but one emoji might mean something differently to someone else in another context. And I think to address, lay the fear for those who think that these forms of communication is going to lead to a decline. So I'm of the school of thought that think that, look, I use all these emojis and I still write clearly. So it's just having a good balance, understanding where to use what. You know, and I think if listeners should go with anything, it's important that we know that the specific places where we can use certain forms of language. You cannot be writing a formal email and be, particularly with somebody you are meeting for the first time, and be introducing emojis and acronyms and shortcuts. You know, they just complicate the interaction, make it difficult to understand each other. And I love that we talked about AI, because that's the next question I want us to touch on. So language evolution changes. Now we have the added burden of AI. So for those who are listening, can you just break down what AI is in layman's terms? And I know you've touched on a bit in your previous talk, but if you can just let us understand the advantages and the that AI poses to us in this digital era, particularly when we are talking about.
Okay, so basically, when you talk about artificial intelligence, it's simply a machine trying to perform a human task, which happens to be a human effort. Right? It does not come to replace a human effort or human activity, but rather in to complement. So the argument that AI has come to replace human tasks invalid and must not be regarded as such. So talking about the integration of artificial intelligence into language processing represents what you call the paradigm shift. Now AI powered chatbots, virtual assistants in language translations are transforming a cross-cultural communication. And we have a natural language processing, which is an algorithm in AI, which we use to analyze massive amount of textual data, enabling sentiment analysis, content summarization, and language translation with an increasing accuracy. Now, the impact of AI is more multifaceted. While it enhances language accessibility and cross-lingual communication, it also prompts questions about its originality and authenticity. So AI-generated content challenges a distinction between human and machine-generated language, which raises concern about both ethical and copyright issues. So with the evolution of language alongside technology advancement showcases some sort of adaptability and resilience. And the digital age has profoundly shaped language use and the communication practices, which is ushering a new both possibility and challenges. And these challenges are bound to happen, and the rise of AI in language processing introduces what you call a new era of communication, which is bridging the gaps and fostering interconnectivity while raising important ethical considerations. So as technology continues to evolve, language also will undoubtedly remain an evolving companion on the journey of human progress. So I'll talk about the challenges that we face as human being, or let's say, I may say, language bias and including AI has to do with the fact that the AI is developed by human beings, and then the content of that AI is produced also by human beings. So in that instance, there will be some challenges that we'll face as human beings, as far as we are not perfect. Now, to actually understand the complexity and the challenge that AI will pose, or the limitation that it has created, I would like to dissect or to actually dive in back in detail. So now, the potential of artificial intelligence in detecting and addressing language bias is a groundbreaking advancement that holds, I may say, promise for creating more inclusive and equitable communication platforms. AI is trained to recognize the bias language patterns, flagging content that perpetuates stereotypes or marginalized certain groups. So, assuming that there's so much talk about human rights, gay rights, whatsoever. So, suppose the one who is in behind the AI content will make sure that whatever content that he or she is writing is in their favor. So, anything that is against them, they will try to fine tune it to suit their belief or their emotions. So in this case, that is where the AI may come for short. So if you realize that you have people who are behind the AI, quote unquote, have a moral decadence. So in this case, the whole society will be thrown into that moral decadence, and it will be a very big challenge to the society as well. So talking on the sentiment analysis techniques, can also be employed to assess the what you call emotional tone of language, and highlighting the potential biases that the AI might cause along the right. So AI itself, well, it has come as a, I may say, provider of training suggestions for biased language and encourage users to express themselves in a moral, neutral, or inclusive manner. At the same time, remain a big challenge in terms of bias and contextual nuances, as well as cultural variation, which poses a difficulty for the algorithm that we use in the development. So, as language bias continues deeply embedded and content dependent in AI, AI models will continuously train on a diverse and a representative data set to improve the accuracy and sensitivity in detecting bias across the different language cultures and then people. So, AI, yes, is good to use, but then it's all about who's put in the content and who is behind the whole content that is being developed. So its limitation lies in the potential of overcorrection. While algorithms may mistakenly flag content as bias, even when it is not. So this can stifle creative expression and hinder genuine conversations. So by striking the right balance between addressing bias and preserving freedom of speech remains ongoing challenge in terms of AI. So moreover, the responsibility for tuning AI models to detect and address language bias lies with human experts. So, and these experts may inadvertently introduce their own biases during the training process. So this reinforces the need for what a diverse and unbiased data set, continuous oversight towards to minimize the propagation. So yes, it is fascinating, but however, it's still a challenge to the human race as well.
Thank you very much. So I think you've stated it beautifully that in as much as AI presents us with a tremendous opportunity, makes us work faster, we should be mindful of what is generated by AI. Because essentially what we feed into AI is the result we get. And like you have beautifully highlighted, the issue of contextual information, that is something that AI will not be able to comprehensively capture in totality. And I think I just want to add my words to say, likewise, language evolves quickly. So new terms, new ways, new understandings. And so I think the other thing too is that these AI models are frequently updated to be able to bridge that gap, that it stays update, but then there's a challenge. It cannot be as update as with the speed at which language changes evolve. So I'm getting from what you're saying that we need both the human, a human intelligence, a human understanding. We need that to be able to complement with the AI tools that are available. I think that is, and I'm so happy that you talked about AI, language profiles, and how that can have an effect on society generally. And your point again, just to reiterate, is that the one way that we can effectively deal with this is to introduce a diverse range of perspectives and voices so as to limit the bias that thank you very much for sharing those important points. I think before I let you go, you talked about how businesses can use AI, you talk about sentiment analysis to help them understand where they can adapt their strategies. So if there's one thing you want to leave the listeners with, before we come back and we delve into our next, what is that one thing you want to leave our listeners when we are talking about language and AI? One or two things that you want to live on?
Okay, so I would like to also talk about how AI are used across the industries, which I think would be an important role of AI in language understanding and processing. Bias is at the major a force, a transformative force, to have some new unlocking frontiers of communication and information analysis, which particularly for a natural language processing. So, this natural language processing has revolutionized how machines interact with human language by enabling tasks that were once considered real human intelligence. So with NLP as a branch of AI that focuses on interaction between computers and human language, empowers industries to generate human language in a way that is both meaningful and contextual relevant. So through the analysis of vast data sets, machine learning algorithms have been trained to recognize patterns, syntax, semantics, and even emotions to help industry to process information without even physical presence of any human being or human intervention. So I want to look at how the application of this language or this natural language processing span across diverse industries in general. So when you talk about healthcare, what LLP or natural language processing does is that it helps analyzes medical records, clinical notes to aid in diagnosis, treatment recommendation, and also personalized patient care. That is the key major task that you can apply artificial intelligence when it comes to healthcare. When we come to finance, with the financial sentiment analysis of financial news and report helps what you call predict market trends. So with AI, we use AI to predict the market trends, while chatbots enhances customer service or customer support and streamline financial services. So in the absence of a customer service, the AI come in there to educate the client on the financial market and expenses. So customer service, yes, was said to have become obsolete because AI will come to replace that. But still, there's an argument to that, that yes, it has come to replace, but rather a compliment. Because not all the response that the AI can actually generate for the customer. So the customer service, we have AI chatbots that provide instant responses in the absence of human being, which in offering efficient customer service and enhancing user experience. We also have the e-commerce, which is an online store where we might not have the vendors present 24/7. And then with enabling presence of natural language processing, help to interact with the users or the customers by providing them reviews and analysis and market trends or recommendations of products that they would like to purchase or like to have access to. So that is one of the aspects. Also, the next aspect is content creation. With the generation of GPT chats, the work of content creators become obsolete. However, you can only excel in this if you complement AI as a content creator to automate your processes, then become a relevant tool, and it will still help them stay in business. And we come to the legal industry. In the natural processing language, also helps analyze legal documents, contracts, and cases, such as histories for fast legal research. So we are looking for research that I think I have to go through all the digital space to set, but with AI, at the advent of AI, there are some legal cases that once it has been updated, you search for that reference, AI will help you to get it at a faster space with more detailed content. That is helping the legal, industry as well. So, yes, I think it has come to complement our efforts that we do for so many hours within the shortest possible time. That task can be accomplished. So, yes, I think AI is a good tool that we have must all use, but then it could be a benefit for us, provided that we harness or we focus on its merit at the expense of the demerit. And I think that's what I can leave with for now.
Thank you very, very much for your time. It's been an insightful conversation, and I look forward to the next episode. So, listeners, thank you very much. We bring this first segment to an end, and as usual, I'd love to get your comments, your feedback. If you want me to ask just any specific questions, please do leave your comments or your questions in the comments, and I'll have him address them in the next episode. So, Justice, thank you so much for your time. It's been an honor to meet.
You're welcome, Doug. Thanks for the opportunity.